Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
I feel like tonight is the most optimistic Bulls fans have been in years. There's the newness of the front office. There's the stealthiness in which they've operated.
And I think in a lot of ways it's blind faith for a couple of reasons. And for me, one is, like, look, I didn't see – there was no tournament this year. So, like, there's going to be guys drafted tonight that normally I would have seen several times. I haven't seen anybody probably – or I've seen some of these guys very infrequently. So there's a whole lot of intrigue about what's going to happen tonight.
I don't think it's completely blind faith, because if they would have been sitting here with Jim Boylan as their coach tonight and he would be podium, that we would be saying, yeah, I can't wait to see what Karnishevich does. I just think the way he operated, where he took his time, there was some sentiment they would keep Boylan, and now it's sort of shown us, hey, he may have total autonomy now. That, hey, I'm going to get rid of Boylan, even though Michael Reinsdorf likes him. I'm going to move for a very expensive head coach in Billy Donovan. I know I've interviewed 10 different assistant coaches, but Billy became available. I'm going to fly down to Florida in a pandemic. We're going to make this happen in a matter of days. And I think that's why Bulls fans are very, very excited. So let's talk about that with Jeff Goodman, who does great work. He covers college basketball. He covers the NBA. He's absolutely in touch. He works for Stadium, that's located right here in Chicago. Stadium's draft show tonight at 7 o'clock. You can see Goodman. You can see Shams, a bunch of special guests, and live coverage of the NBA draft as Jeff Goodman joins Waddle and Sylvie right now on the Corona Hotline. Jeff, long time no talk. How have you been?
I'm good. I'm sitting here in the Marriott Magnificent Mile, and I don't think I've seen another person in this entire hotel since I got here last night. So, I think the occupancy rate might percentage might be about 3% right now. But it's good being here, even if it's not like it usually is in Chicago. What I can tell you, what I can speak of right away as you were introing me, is I know Jim Boylan and Billy Donovan, both of them, very well. I mean, Boylan was in college for a while. He was going to be the next coach at Arizona if Sean Miller turned down the job, which he initially did. I've known Billy 15 years. And there's no comparison, guys. There's none. Zero. Billy Donovan's a really, really good coach. He proved it this past year. It took him a little while, I think, in the NBA to kind of figure it out a little bit, dealing with the egos. It's a different deal than college. But he did a hell of a job this past year in Oklahoma City. And I think you're right. Listen, Gar Foreman, everybody has been done with Gar Foreman for years now. He did make a couple good picks lately. I'll give him credit. I thought he did a pretty good job drafting lately. But ultimately, everybody wanted a change here in Chicago, and you got it with Arturas and Billy Donovan.
I would just say, before we even focus on tonight's activity, Jeff, so it sounds like you are impressed with what the Bulls have done with regard to the change that has taken place in their front office and on their bench.
Listen, Arturas was in Denver when they made some really, really good moves, right? Let's be honest. Drafting, trades, I mean, even something as simple as Michael Porter Jr., which I thought was a complete no-brainer at that point, to take him in the middle of the first round when he slipped. Jokic, obviously, getting him when they did. I mean, they just made some good moves in Denver. I think Arturas, when you talk to people around the league, he's very smart. And measured in what he does, and Billy Donovan's about as measured a guy as I've ever met. I've never met somebody who, before making a decision, will call more people and make sure. The one thing with Billy is his ego was never such that he felt like, and still is this way, that he feels like he knows everything. So instead, he'll make sure he confers with as many people as he can. And again, the big difference, Chicago Bulls team isn't the team he inherited with KD and Russell Westbrook. Those two egos, he was in an impossible situation, I felt like, early in Oklahoma City, especially with KD and Russ being on, not on the same page when he got there.
Jeff Goodman joins us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Before we get into the draft, because you just brought up KD and Russ, there is some talk, some people still think, that maybe there'd be an interest in Russell Westbrook. What do you know about Donovan's relationship with Westbrook, and would that be a good or bad idea?
I think it would be a bad idea. I really do. I mean, that contract, it's not favorable. Russ is a guy that's a competitor. We know that. But does he fit in today's NBA? He's a high-volume guy. He competes, no doubt about it. But you need guys right now that are going to be able to shoot the basketball, get skilled players. You know, that's the biggest thing that I always say about the Bulls, that they really didn't give Fred Hoiberg, and I'm not saying it would have been a success, but they didn't give him a fair shake. They gave him the wrong talent for him. They gave him a bunch of non-skilled players to some degree, and Fred needs skilled guys. And in this today's NBA, you better have a point guard who can shoot the basketball, and that's not Russell Westbrook.
So, Jeff, what do you believe is the Bulls' biggest need as they sit at four tonight?
Well, they need a star, obviously. You don't have that on the roster. You've got a bunch of good players, not great players. When Zach LaVine is considered your best player, you're not capable of going deep into the NBA playoffs. When Zach LaVine is, to me, your best player or even your second best player. So you've got to find a way to develop that right now, get to a point where you're a free agent destination again. That's going to be the key right now, is they're not that because they're not competitive. So you've got to hit it here tonight in the draft. And I love that they're being active in trying to see what they can get. I know they like Pat Williams. I don't know if they take him at four. You know, Obi Toppin's certainly in the mix from what I'm told, but you know, trying to get up there and maybe get James Wiseman. James Wiseman, 7'1", guys, and man, when you watch him run the court, he's not David Robinson, but when you watch him run the court, he looks like David Robinson. He's not as skilled, but he can block shots, he can alter shots. Not the toughest dude in the world yet, but he's got a ton of potential. He can be a DeAndre Ayton type of player. Again, not quite as good offensively, but better on the defensive end in terms of shot altering and blocking shots. So I think they need to obviously just take the best player available, because you have to get a star. Don't get all worried about point guard, point guard, point guard. We know they need a point guard. Like Kobe White's probably better off the ball or playing with another guy who can run the point and make life easier. He's wired to score. But ultimately, you can't reach. Don't take Tyrese Halliburton at four, or move down and take Tyrese Halliburton at seven or eight. To me, there's no point guard in this draft that I feel really good about being a starting point guard for a playoff team. So I would defer on that and just take the best player available. Or if you can get a guy that can help you now for that pick, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think you're going to get a lot. These picks, to me, you know, they're overvalued. The top three picks, we've heard it. They're not very good in terms of the value right now for Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, or even James Wiseman. Nobody wants the number one pick.
Jeff Goodman joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Jeff is at Stadium. And I want to build on what you said about Wiseman there. There were a couple of things, because at first I thought you were going like you really, really liked him, and then you're like, there's not a lot of value.
Yep.
There's been a rumor out there, I think it started at the Ringer, that the Bulls could move up from four to two, trade with Golden State, where they would send Wendell Carter there with the four pick for Wiseman. What would you think if they did something like that?
Yeah, I don't think that's I wouldn't do it. You know, to me, giving up on Wendell Carter right now to move up two spots to get James Wiseman. I like James Wiseman a lot, but I don't think he's any guarantee by any means. I like Obi Toppin. I like Patrick Williams. I don't love any of them. I don't love any of them. So I wouldn't be giving up a chip like Wendell Carter, who I think is a piece. Is he a star? No, but I think he's a good piece that you should be able to get more for than moving up two picks in what is a very weak NBA draft.
How do you feel about LaMelo Ball?
Is that a loaded question?
No, spent, no, I know.
10 days with him in Lithuania.
No, no, I'm just asking.
Oh boy, the last time I saw LaMelo Ball, man, I was frustrated. I hope he's matured. His defense still stinks. His shot mechanics have gotten no better in the 2 years since I've seen him in person. And he's immature. But, man, his passing ability, his court vision is insane. It's ridiculous. It's much like his oldest brother Lonzo's. But I'd take Lonzo over LaMelo because Lonzo makes the right play.
Right.
He advances the ball quickly. He makes the simple play. It's not always flashy. Lonzo's a far, far, far superior defender. I mean, LaMelo, I still say, 2 years ago, was the worst defender I've ever seen at that age. Now, he's 16 years old at that point, and he's gotten a little better. But he better be in the right situation. If he's not, like to me, if he's in Charlotte losing a ton of games, getting empty numbers, he's not going to get better. The best thing for LaMelo Ball, and I'm not sure it happens, is to go to Golden State, where Steph can tutor him, and he can mature and watch from Steph. And maybe he has to sit and watch for a little while, but it will benefit him in his career because he's got some awful habits. And he got those habits from his dad.
And we talked about that with you before. Like, I think the assignment that you got in Lithuania covering them, the Ball family at their height, was probably one of the worst assignments any sports reporter could have gotten at the time, correct?
Other than the fact that the country was really cool, yes. The assignment itself sucked. But the country, the people in Lithuania, seeing that country and meeting people was very cool. But yes, otherwise it was not a lot of fun. I won't disagree with you.
So Jeff, is there a guy here that, like you said, you're not sold on anybody? But if there was a guy that could exceed expectations and ultimately blossom and maybe a mild surprise, who would that guy be in your opinion?
So here's what I'm saying. The Anthony Bennett draft, the best players that came out of that draft were Giannis went 15th, CJ McCollum went 10th, and Rudy Gobert went 27th. So I guess what I'm going to say here is if you're asking me to take who's going to be the best player to come out of this draft in 5 years, I'm going to international guy. I am. I'm going like a Denny Avdija or somebody like that. I just feel like we're going to find somebody further down in this draft. It might be a Pat Williams, and maybe he goes fourth or seventh, like many people think, to Detroit. It might be a guy further down. I don't know, but I feel like Devin Vassell is a kid I really, really like. The two Florida State kids I love because, listen, the bottom line is in this draft, I just want known quantities. And those two kids, Devin Vassell and Pat Williams, I know they're going to guard. And I know Devin's going to make shots, and I know Pat Williams is going to compete, and he's so versatile, and he's going to get better at everything. I mean, he came off the bench last year at Florida State. I just, like, Anthony Edwards scares the hell out of me. He shot 40% from the field, 29% from three, and he lost a ton of games at Georgia. And now it comes out today that he doesn't even like watching basketball, that his favorite sport's football. And, LaMelo, like I said, his shot mechanics are brutal. He doesn't guard. I just, like, honestly, I think the safest pick might be Obi Toppin. I really do. I feel like he's vastly underrated. He's a freak athlete. He's 6'8", 6'9". He could step out and shoot a little bit now. Defensively, he hasn't been good, but I think he can be average if he just works at it a little bit. So I could see, Obi Toppin's the guy that I think could go to Chicago if they stay at four. But I think, again, there's a lot of mind games going on right now, starting at the top with Minnesota. And there should be. Like, if I'm Gerson Rosas with the Timberwolves, I'm putting it out there every day that I like a different guy. Today it's Edwards. Yesterday was Wiseman. The day before that it was LaMelo. Because I'm praying that I don't have to take anybody with the number one overall pick and I could somehow trade out of that spot.
So you've scratched the surface just a little bit with Pat Williams. You've referred to him a few times at Florida State, not starting this past year, but a guy who can grow and be really good in this draft. Give us some more on what Pat Williams is as a basketball player.
I mean, he looks like Kawhi. He's built like Kawhi. Kawhi couldn't shoot it at San Diego State. I saw him his freshman, sophomore year there, and he really couldn't shoot the ball at all. And we kind of know that. With work, he got better. And that's the one area that every NBA guy will agree on. It's hard to improve your handle. It's hard to improve, like, whether you're a great rebounder. Either you have a nose for the ball and you can rebound outside of your area or not. But shooting with repetition, you can get better on. Pat Williams will get better at his shot, but he can guard multiple positions, probably four spots in the NBA. He is big, strong, super athlete, plays hard, as high a character kid as you're going to find. I just think he's going to get better and better. And in this day of where the multidimensional wing is so important, the multidimensional forward, like a Jason Tatum. I'm not saying he's going to be Tatum, but Jason Tatum did not shoot the ball well from three, guys. When I first kind of laid eyes on him, sophomore high school, even at Duke, and he worked at it. And now he's become Jason Tatum. I'm not saying, again, Pat Williams is going to be Jason Tatum or Kawhi Leonard, but I think he's got that it factor to him. It just may take a little bit to get there.
All right, so to recap, you like Wiseman, but if you trade up for Wiseman, you don't like that. You don't like LaMelo. You like Avdija. You like Pat Williams. You like Obi Toppin. Those are all possibilities.
Yeah, and I like Onyeka Okongwu, too. You know, I do. Listen, a lot of these guys I wouldn't take Haliburton. Again, I wouldn't reach take Tyrese Haliburton. Great kid, but I don't think he's a point guard on a playoff team. You know, but, like, I think expectations have to be realistic of whoever's coming in, unfortunately. And I think you're going to get a guy that blends in with some of the other guys you already have, the Markkanens, the Wendells, the Zach LaVines. You're getting another piece. You're getting another guy who's a piece on this team, but I don't think you're necessarily going to get a superstar. And does that take you up a notch? Yeah, and maybe Billy Donovan can get you in the playoffs, but you're still going to have to get a star somewhere, somehow.
Yep. Jeff, always great talking to you. You're full of knowledge. We always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Be well.
There you go. He's at the Marriott in downtown.
By himself.
He said there's like 2% occupancy. That's what I mean. It's what you would expect during all this.
Yes.
Jeff Goodman on Stadium, so check him out tonight. He's really, really good. If you want to react, 332-3776. I know Bleck's going to be really happy from something that Goodman said. We'll go over that. We've got some football planned for 4 o'clock. So much to get after. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Bleck and Abdallah have the draft coverage tonight at 6. Bleck started the show by saying he did not like Haliburton either, especially at number 4. And I said I'm trusting if they mention him. But, Bleck, I'm sure your ears perked up when you heard Jeff Goodman say that's not a pick that he would like for the Bulls at number 4.
Yeah, and, you know, like, if you watch enough of the highlights and the bad plays, the good plays, all this stuff on Haliburton, it's like, can you see him be a star? I just can't see it. Like, I'm sure he's a really nice kid. He's going to work hard. He's going to be a solid starter in the league. But I don't know if that's what the Bulls need. And I also agree with Jeff on his assessment of LaMelo Ball. Like, what do we do with LaMelo? He has incredible passing skill. He can't shoot. He makes bad decisions. He has never been challenged as a player, right? Like, he played in high school, and then he goes overseas for, what, 12 games in Australia? And he's a super famous kid who's kind of been gifted everything. Like, I find it hard to get behind LaMelo Ball, especially if you're picking 1, 2, or 3. And it would worry me if he fell to 4 with the Bulls and he became the Bulls pick at 4. But I also agree with Goodman's assessment of Haliburton. I don't think he's a number 4 pick.
I don't hear anything about Toppin, and he mentioned Toppin. He's one of the few that I heard where he thought the Bulls maybe would take him at 4. He's super athletic. I know he's older, but who cares if he's good? I've only seen the highlights from Dayton and how good they were this past year. We never saw him in the big games that we could have seen in the tournament. Do you like Toppin?
At 4? Is that the way you're you're going to question it?
That they name Obi Toppin at four.
You know, I wouldn't, but it's all relative, right? Like, he is going to be able to score 20 points per game at Dayton. Clearly, he has an NBA body, and he has an offensive skill set that's going to definitely translate on the next level. The thing that I would worry about with Toppin is, where does he play? He played center last year. Is anyone expecting him to be a center? I mean, he's 6'9", so he's not going to be a center in the NBA. So when he's guarding bigger players, is he going to have is he going to be able to stop bigger players on the block? And then when he's out on the perimeter, is he going to be able to guard, like, say if he gets mismatched on, like, Jason Tatum? It's a name that came up with Jeff Goodman. I feel like a player like Jason Tatum would eat him alive. Kawhi Leonard would eat him alive. Paul George would eat him alive. So, like, I feel like there's a very narrow spot where you could put Obi Toppin in a starting five. He would just need defenders around him, and I don't know if the Bulls really have that.
So based on what you've seen and what you know of AK and what you've seen him do in his past, try to connect the dots and tell me what you think he'll do.
It's Abdia or it's Williams. I think that's the way it'll play
that
out.
That fits his MO for how he likes to do
stuff. High potential for both of them. They both are skilled handling the ball, and Abdia definitely a gifted passer. And they're both players that give max effort, play on both ends of the floor. And I think that fits what we've seen the Nuggets do in the past. And I think it also fits a little bit to what we've seen the 76ers do. You know, Mark Eversley has taken bigs who can handle the ball and kind of do all things. I mean, think back to Ben Simmons, right? He was a pretty obvious number one choice. But that's been Ben Simmons' game, is he was missing the shot. Doesn't that kind of sound like Denny Avdija? I'm not saying that they're the same player, but it's the same type of skill set.
Right, Avdija would shoot it more. He's not reluctant. He's just not. Yeah. Like you said, his free throw shooting percentage is down. And from what I've read, though, is they say he's not mechanically terrible.
Right.
So they feel like that could definitely come. Where, like, isn't Haliburton a guy who's got a funky shot? LaMelo a little bit funky, too?
I would say LaMelo definitely funky. And his feet are bad on his set shots. So, like, that's something that definitely would have to change for LaMelo. You know, with Haliburton, it's just in front of his body. So if you're worried, like, here's the thing. At Iowa State, he was shooting shots from, like, 35 feet. He was hitting them. He makes long three-point shots, which you guys know that's all the rage in the NBA now. Trae Young, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard stepping away 35, 37, 40 feet away.
Silly's teaching his boys to shoot the ball from 30 feet away.
Mason's shooting it from 40 feet away.
Yeah.
The only difference is that Haliburton's shot is in front of his body, and it's low. So, like, if you're shooting a long shot,
you're going to eat that.
Well, someone's going to swat that down, right? Like, it's easier for a big, if you're in a pick-and-roll situation, to shade out and to block that shot they're out.
Think about a field goal kicker. The longer the field goal, the less loft you can put on.
Right, right.
Now look at that. Look at us doing geometry.
Yeah. Bring back Cody Parkey memories.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, so, Sylvie, it is a bit funky, but he makes it. So, like, we've seen funky shooters in the past in the NBA, but if they're good shooters, they're good shooters, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's like Phillip Rivers throwing the football. It never looked pretty, but
it still doesn't make sense. I don't get how he throws it.
I know, right. Waddle would always talk about Chris Sale. Chris Sale's really weird stuff.
I don't know if I ever told you this story, Chris. I was sitting on the toilet one time trying to get my left. Seriously.
He's working on his pitching mechanics on the pot.
My point is that, like, I'm not dangling 500 feet above, you know, a city from somewhere. I'm doing something that everybody does. So, like, I hope that doesn't shock anyone. But I don't know why, but I was sitting on the toilet one day trying to get my left arm in the position that Sale gets his left arm in to deliver the baseball. And I swear to you, I couldn't do it. Like, I'm right-handed, so I tried even better with my... I couldn't do it.
Can you do the Phillip Rivers? How does he throw?
That's a shot put.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a shot put. Yeah, that's not... Yeah.
See, Red Fred wants to talk to us. Freddie, you're on ESPN 1000.
Guys, I love you. What a night for us, huh? The Red Leviathan being born with the fifth piece. I'm so excited. I just can't even believe it. But I got to call a couple things out. Denny Avdija is a 55% free throw shooter, 31% from three. I've never seen a player get more hype for averaging 4 points in Europe in less than one assist. Like, What kind of bizarre world are we in?
I did that in college or in high school in my freshman
team. Yes. I have sixth graders, and they have to run if they don't hit 60% of their free throws. He's a 55% free throw shooter. I don't care how good his form is. If he can't hit free throws, that's a great indicator to how good you're going to be from the three-point line. I understand Luka was a sensation, but if Luka didn't exist, this guy wouldn't even be talked about in the top 20. How could we have an interview with Goodman and you don't mention Isaac Okoro? Isaac Okoro is the best perimeter defender in this draft. He's number one on my board, and if we add him to the Leviathan,
do you really have a board, Fred?
I have a massive board right here, and I'm looking at it right now. And Halliburton's a 40-plus percent from three. He's 10 times the shooter than he averages. What kind of nonsense is this? If we get Halliburton, he's an exceptional kid, great leader. I'll be fine with it. I'll be fine with everybody. Except, you know, Ball, I love his vision. Incredible passer. No doubt about it. Again, when has a horrible defender and horrible shooter ever produced an all-star NBA?
I don't know, but I gotta take a step back, Fred. Like, you call this team the Red Leviathan. Yeah, they have not earned that nickname yet.
In pieces. Like, you're acting like they're Tony Kukoc, yeah, Michael Jordan,
right,
Scottie Pippen.
I mean, you need to stop it. Right now, you know, they're like a...
Tommy,
I don't know what they are. They're like a beaver.
Who said
they're like
a
beaver
defender.
Or a groundhog is what they
Tommy
are right
and
now.
Sylvie, the injuries and the horrific coach we've had for the last year and a half has blinded you to the fact that this is the team that's going to save this city from all the disaster that we've had in
you
every
guys
other
done
sport.
With this?
The Bulls are rising. Look at the red all sun right in the sky. It's blinding, and what? Get on board the bus because we're going places, brother.
Okay. He can't really. Right. He's doing a bit, right?
Well, of course. Because, I mean, Sylvie, who said that Dia is bad on defense? He's not. Second of all, Dia scores. So if you say that he's going to be a bad shooter and quote the shooting percentages, no one's going to argue with that. But the point is, he is not someone who's a stiff offensively. Clearly, this individual has never seen him play.
And he's got the Bulls a piece
away.
Well, I
mean, just because you got a phone number, you call up, you're, oh, he's terrible, oh, he's average. That's not the case. It's not because of Doncic.
Welcome to Sports Talk Radio, Chris.
No, I know. It's just, it's...
We love Fred, though.
See,
he's
Red
a friend
Fred
of the
is
show.
Like
he's a friend see of the Red, show.
Who would see Red Fred be if he was an NBA player? He comes off the bench and he hustles like crazy.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, his stat line is 0-0-0.
He's Felicio.
He's Aaron Gray. Yeah.
Felicio. Who's the guy that used to trip people at Duke?
Who?
The guy who used to trip people at Duke. Grayson.
Yeah.
Grayson Allen. He's Grayson Allen.
He's tripping people.
Tripping people is what
people.
He's doing. The Red Leviathan, come on now, Fred. Listen, this team.
Okoro. Get out of
team,
here with Okoro.
This team needs
please
to accomplish
something.
That's what
I said to him. I went, who? And he's like, Isaac Okoro. I go, dude, they're not taking Isaac Okoro.
You know the draft's tonight, right?
No, I know who he is, but that's what I'm saying is like, why would we ask him about it when we don't think that he's going to take him?
By the way, someone's saying on Twitch that C. Red Fred is Tony Snell. Didn't Tony Snell play like a 30-minute game and have 0.0 rebounds and 0 assists for Milwaukee one game? Oh, geez. All right, we'll have some fun inside Waddle's World coming up. We'll talk some Bears football. There's a lot to get after
Remember, whoever snelt it, dealt it.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. Speaking of weird, did you guys see Big Sky last night on ABC?
No. What's Big Sky?
It's a David Lynch show. I was just wondering. It's kind of a weird show. I just wondered if you'd seen it.
I saw a lot of ads for it during the Bachelorette.
The reason I mention it is because it's like the first network television show
that you've watched.
That I've watched, and I can't tell you how long. I'm almost out of. I can't say
since,
I'm completely out of
men.
Things to watch, but like I told you, I was never a huge Two and a Half Men.
Want FaceTime?
Story. What?
Like, if you're bored, you have nothing to watch, we could all do it, like, group FaceTime at night and just have...
I don't punch myself in the face over and over again.
I really do think that there's been good and bad things from the pandemic, where Zoom has been good because you've been able to work from home, but now the expectation is always to be in front of the camera where a conference call would have been good enough. I don't like that. I'm not always presentable. I may be somewhere during a conference call, and I'm multitasking.
What do you got? You got like a costume on or something? Well, you dressed up like a pirate or something?
Kind of like
what? You're living out a, you know, a fantasy or something?
I may be doing arm mechanics. You know what I'm saying? Where do you do your arm mechanics? You do it in the bathroom.
My arm now, mechanics? What, yeah, is an arm what are you talking mechanic? About?
Is that coats an arm
what
mechanic?
What is an arm mechanic?
You were just... 5 minutes ago, guys, you were just talking about Chris
Sale. You're in the bathroom doing arm mechanics?
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
You're in the pot trying to figure out...
In the pot.
Trying
to deliver
out Chris...
a baseball with my arm in a very odd position. I gotcha.
In the Zoom world now, I'm not allowed to multitask. Like, back in the day, if we had a conference call, I could be anywhere at any time doing what I want as long as I'm paying attention.
You're just mad you can't put that Tarzan outfit on anymore and just run around at any time because somebody may be trying to FaceTime you.
Thought we had a Jeffrey... some eggs or something.
Thought we had a Jeffrey Toobin situation.
Get out of here with that.
By the way, Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's
proud.
Arm mechanics. Is that what Toobin called it?
To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC. I encourage all of you right now. I implore you.
Yeah.
To try to get your arm in the position that Chris Sale's got his arm in while he delivers that baseball.
Do you know why he's able to get it that way? Because of the torque. You can't do it by just posing. You have to do it with the torque of the arm.
Well, torque it. See if your arm falls off. I bet it does. Someone your age. You trying to torque it? Like, listen, I can't do it. My left tricep, my left bicep, it's all shredded. It's like I just got something hanging on my left side of my body right now. I can't do that.
You're still in good shape.
No. It's going bad. It's going south quick. Really, really quick.
You always say that. I'm telling you,
I can't. It's something that, like, my arm is, like, my bicep. You know, if you get, I got, like, a hole between my forearm and my bicep. Like, there's, like, it's torn. It's awful. It sucks.
That's what Waddle does. Waddle will go out and play tennis or play golf or play some sport, throw the football around. He'll complain how much it hurts, but before he starts complaining, he'll thrive at whatever.
That's not true. That used to be the case. That has left me. It's very depressing. The Mets, Robinson Cano has been suspended for the entire 2020 season for PED usage.
So this is his second offense, correct? Because his first one would have gotten 80 games or 81?
Yes, he missed 80 games in 2018 after testing positive for a diuretic while with the Mariners. His second positive results and an automatic 162-game suspension. Like, he's got a $24 million salary for 2021. Like, you don't have – you could suck.
Right.
You could hit 0-0-0 with no RBIs, no home runs, no nothing,
and
you're still cashing a $24 million salary. You don't get it now.
He loses it all.
Like, it's in the pantheon of stupid sports behavior, that's in the team photo, isn't it?
Yeah, Waddle is teaching everybody, if you're going to cheat, do it in a contract year.
Yes. Don't do it where you've got $24 million coming your way. Go sit on the couch and drink beer and eat chips. To be taking Diana Ball and testosterone when you know you're going to get tested.
It's a good lesson.
I mean, seriously, like, first of all, kids, don't take steroids, okay? But if you're going to take steroids, don't do it in a year where you're expected to get $24 million.
Yeah, you're getting.
He needs a life coach, and I'm available. I mean, jeez, really? Robinson.
Great point.
Robinson, it's Tom. Before you stick that needle in your gluteus maximus, I just want to remind you that you're due to make $24 million in the 2021 baseball season.
And Robinson, you play for the Mets. Who cares? You're going to stink anyway. Just accept it. Don't cheat.
The NFL is now requiring all teams to operate under intensive COVID-19 protocols. Starting this Saturday, all teams must operate under the league's intensive COVID-19 protocols for the remainder of the season, according to a league memo obtained by ESPN. Requirements under the intensive protocols include virtual team meetings and mask wearing by all players and staff at all times while at the facility, including during practice. So you want to get through the season.
Yes.
You want to get your money. You want everything to happen. Then you're going to have to follow the intensive.
That's what the Dr. Sills has said, that the reason why it hasn't spread amongst a team where there hasn't been an outbreak is because they're all wearing the masks.
There you go. Second opinion confirms Drew Brees' injuries. He's got all kinds of damage.
So he'll miss at least 2 weeks, at least.
Yes. Giants have fired their offensive line coach, Mark Colombo, fine Boston College grad and a former Chicago Bear, after a confrontation with head coach Joe Judge.
Yeah, there was one report that said that they got into a fist fight.
I think that's been disputed, but Giants announced today that they have fired Colombo and replaced him with a guy named Dave, with Judge saying in his statement that he felt like this move is in the best interest of the team. According to the local ESPN reporter who covers the Giants, reports that the Giants decided to fire Colombo after the first-year offensive line coach got into a verbal altercation with Judge over the team's initial plan to hire Dave as a consultant. Although the argument got nasty, it did not get physical, according to the reporter. A Giant spokesperson, not like a big spokesperson, but a Giant spokesperson, the team, also denied a report that there was a fist fight, saying the report was absolutely false in every way.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey's not playing against the Lions. Knicks have moved up in the draft, acquiring the number 23 overall pick in a trade with the Jazz.
Tibbs wants to win now. Remember, Tibbs is there.
Yeah, I mean, are you really winning now with the 20th overall? Or they've Tibbs. Got the 8th pick, too. They're going to need them both, because like after the first training camp, you know, I mean, both are going to be gassed and probably exposed to.
The hot rumor is that the reason they made that trade is then to get better picks to then package to try and move even higher.
Let's move up in a draft where there's
picks to trade.
Like, all I've heard from all of the NBA people, and I'm not being a wise ass, is that
be the one to go into Tom Thibodeau's office and tell him that there's not enough in this draft for him to win with, okay?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Why are you moving up?
They have 8 and 23 now. So the hot rumor is that they're trying to package 8 and 23 to get.
Tom's the guy that tells you, I'll beat yours with mine, or then I'll beat mine with yours. Something like that. All right, when we come back, I've got an interesting story. I don't know if it's so nutty, but it is really interesting about George Clooney. I got a flamethrower story and something called Florida or Ohio. This hour brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura MDX and the all-new 2021 Acura TLX today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Time for the nuttiest story of the day. It's brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little nutty.
Do you want the flamethrower story or the George Clooney story or the Pete Rose story?
Well, I know two of them. I do think the George Clooney story is a very interesting story.
All right, I'm going to save that for last. So quickly, okay. Pete Rose says he still bets on Major League Baseball games. That's why they have casinos. That's what Pete says.
Yeah.
That's not breaking any news, is it?
Well, as long as he's not going to be back in baseball there, he's still banned. He's like, look, I'm going to keep betting then. I got the DraftKings app.
Yeah.
I'm in Vegas. Whatever.
Yeah, I hope he's, you know what? He's making some money on Maction tonight.
That's not baseball.
Man with a flamethrower stands atop a New York City bus and fires away. New York City Police Department investigating a video showing a man standing on top of a city bus with a flamethrower while blasting flames into the air and street before a crowd of cheering onlookers.
People were cheering? There was a guy on a bus with a flamethrower and they're cheering? I would run for my life.
Yep.
In the middle of 2020, with all the crazy stuff that's hit the fan, if you saw a dude on a bus with a flamethrower, would you cheer or would you run? I would run.
I'm running, but it says here the stunt was part of a Wu-Tang tribute music video by local rapper Dupree G-O-D. I'm pronouncing it with the letters because there's a period between the G, the O, and the D.
Yeah.
According to the New York Post.
Dupree G-O-D, Wu-Tang forever, Wu-Tang's for the children.
He did not respond to a comment request from a local news. No permits were issued for the shoot.
It's a fire show, then.
No permits. I think you need a permit for a flamethrower, even if it's just for, you know, like a tribute video.
It's like what I was expecting from Bill Lazor with a laser show, and I never got it.
Oh, by the way, I just saw Adam Hogue tweet something.
So did I. Did you? I responded brilliant to
it. Did you?
It.
Which tweet are you talking about?
The Castillo says yes. They should go with the runs that have worked earlier
Were looking at some of the runs that worked earlier in the season, and then maybe they're going to talk. Offensive line coach, courtesy of Adam Hogue. Offensive line coach Juan Castillo said coaches just looked at some of the run schemes they used earlier in the season. Quote, we're going to talk about it as a staff because there are some schemes that we've had some success in. Just talk about those. Maybe doing those a little more.
Like brilliant. It took them to the bye week to say, let's run the plays that we've had success with.
I told you a little bit more. I could not understand why they went away from what they did the first 2 weeks of the season, which was a lot of I formation and a lot of waggle and a lot of stuff. And
we need to figure out the whys. You know that. We need to figure out the whys.
No, just keep giving me some really cool sayings and I'll be fine.
Resistance, persistence.
Why?
What is it? Persistence over resistance.
It's all, you know, those sayings are really. Why George Clooney gifted his 14 best friends $1 million each. This isn't a GQ magazine article. I found this very interesting.
So did I.
It's not interesting if you're George Clooney's 15th closest friend.
I know. What happened to him?
The Oscar winner once pulled off a flamboyant act of high-rolling worthy of Danny Ocean himself when he gave suitcases packed with $1 million to each of his 14 closest pals, according to a new interview. I just thought, basically, if I get hit by a bus, they're all in the will. Why the blank am I waiting to get hit by a bus? Clooney, 59, told GQ for the magazine's Men of the Year issue. The Ocean's 11 star, who was confirming longstanding rumors about his 2013 giveaway, said the only real problem was actually getting his hands on $14 million in cash. He said he was able to get it at a location in downtown Los Angeles, which he didn't reveal, and carrying it away in a rented beat-up van that said florist on the side. He carried the money in 14 high-end luggage bags.
It's pretty cool.
He gave each of his best friends $1 million.
What is that like for the average person? Giving 14 friends $1 million each would be like the average person giving their 14 friends how much?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how much Clooney's worth. But remember,
$1,000?
Remember, he and Randy Gerber, who is the husband of Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford, right.
They started Casamigos Tequila, which they sold for $1 billion back in 2017.
So then maybe it's even less than $1,000, like
he gave away the money before
they sold that. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was 2013 when he did that.
I was telling the guys, you know, his dad, I used to watch his dad deliver the news every night in Cincinnati. Nick Clooney was basically the Ron Majors of Cincinnati television.
He seems like a good guy, not the news, his dad, but George does. You know, I know we never can tell. We don't truly know these guys. Doesn't he seem like he'd be a good guy?
Well, he gave away $1 million to 14 of his best friends. I mean, that's a check mark in the good guy column.
Yeah.
All right, you guys want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Yes.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Got some disorderly conduct. Drunk man holding hedge clippers prevents neighbor from entering her driveway. A woman called police because she attempted to drive into her home's driveway, but her male neighbor stood in front of her car while waving hedge clippers in the air.
We're not doing that this time of the year in Ohio.
Yeah, but he was using it as a weapon, or she was using it as a weapon.
He was using it as a weapon. Yeah,
but what hedges are you clipping in November?
The man prevented the woman from entering the driveway, and the report noted chased her into the street. The woman called police from her car. According to police, there's no prior history of difficulties between the two, but they did find that the man was highly intoxicated.
I was going to say, was there some wacky stuff going on?
That's it.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
He didn't.
I'm going to Jacksonville.
He didn't get to her, thankfully.
I think this is suburban Cleveland, okay, where people landscape more so than people in Florida.
I mean, it's
but you
November.
Can landscape year round in Florida.
You can, right. But I feel like more Midwestern people landscape.
You can also manscape year round.
Yeah,
you can. I do now. I'm back. Wow. Did I tell you guys I'm manscaping now more? I mean,
yes.
It's growing all over.
We would have never known.
Get your summer bod ready for the winter.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to go Florida.
A drunk man holding hedge clippers prevents his neighbor from entering the driveway in, am I saying this right, Waddle? Solon, Ohio!
Yeah! How's See, he wasn't hedge clipping.
S-O-L-O-N. Is it Solon?
I don't know. I've never heard of that.
I don't think
it's an actual place in Ohio. So I think
it's an story?
It's southeast of Cleveland.
Okay, well,
there
so
you go. I nailed it.
Good work.
I said the Cleveland suburbs.
Hey, listen, Mr. Manscape is bound to get the one right about hedge clipping.
It looks like from the pictures that there would be a lot of hedges to trim in the salon area.
Right. Coming up in 2 short minutes, Bart Scott, former NFL player, continues to talk trash, even though he's retired, and this time at the expense of Nick Foles. Is this fair or foul? You'll hear it in 2 minutes.